Tara gets you John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 24 to 27. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 27. Before we read it, reminded of a story I heard about a little boy.
He had the great idea that he was going to pick his mom some roses. So he picks them, brings them into the house. Mom sees him, but he's got tears streaming down his face. The tears were shed because he cut his hands on the thorny stems of the beautiful red roses. The mom replied, he was showing his love, and that's how he hurt his hands. We're going to talk about hands for a little while. Subject you don't really talk about, but hands are so important. John chapter 20, verse 24 reads as such. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see the hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he says to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Jesus, have we ever thought about the hands of the Master? We know he was both God and man, but he did some wonderful things with his hands. With his hands, he cleansed a leper in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. He placed his hands on the tongue and ears of the deaf mute, causing him to hear and both speak. With his hands, he gave sight to the blind. In Mark 8:23. To the failing faith of a sinking apostle, he extended his hands to keep him from drowning. To the maiden asleep in death, his hands gave her back the power of life. But at no time were those hands more precious or more loving than when they were nailed to the cross for you and I. Those bleeding hands, can you just imagine? We were at the flea market yesterday in Salisbury and ran across something that looked like a steak. About that long, metal, looked older. It wasn't Jesus' time, but I picked it up and said, you know what? I wonder if this is what it looked like, that steak that it drove into his hands and feet. And that thing was thick, maybe about 7-8 inches long. I wonder if that's what it looked like. So you think about what he went through for us. Think about how much he truly loved us. Go back to the first example I gave. He was a child who did the best he could to show his mom that he loved her. With every rose he picked, his hands began to bleed a little bit. With every step, every hold that he had on this bouquet of roses that he chose, tears came down his face. So as I think about our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us, think about what he told Thomas. Now Thomas, many folks have given him the term doubting Thomas. The first thing he said was reach your hands. Use your hands to feel my wounds. Reach thy finger, as it said in verse 27, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Can you imagine? You taking the place of Thomas, still not believing who he was and that he rose from the dead. Jesus shows up in the room like this. Doors closed. Nobody opens the door. He just shows up among us. And then he comes up to you because he knew what you said. He was there. Thomas. Called him by name. He didn't say, which one of y'all doubted me? He says, Thomas, use your hands to feel my wounds. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. I think sometimes as we go through life, we lose sight sometimes of what Christ has done for us. When I was thinking about this as my short devotional, I said, I won't keep you long, so I'm going to stick to it. Kind of began to cause tears to well up in my eyes. Maybe it just hit me at the time. Maybe because I'm full asleep. I don't know. But I was sitting here before service, even sitting here thinking about what Christ did with his hands. The hands of God. You ever thought about it that way? These are not just mere man's hands. These were God's hands. And look at the wonderful things he did for us. He showed his love. Didn't have tears in his eyes, but he had tears in his heart when he died on the cross for us. What an awesome God that we serve. So I'm reflecting back to this mother, because she was brought to tears when she said her son was showing his love, and that's how he hurt his hands. God showed his love for all of us by hurting his hands. Now being nailed to the cross, knowing that he had all the power in the world to keep that from happening. Let us not be like Thomas, to have the touch of physical. Let us always reflect on the fact of, yes, he's risen again. And those same hands, you ever thought about it in closing? Those same hands that we see him having after his resurrection, maybe we'll get to see him again when he comes back for his church without spot or wrinkle to remind us what it's all about. I don't know about you, but I think, man, I think if I saw his hands in glory, I don't know if I could take it. That's just me. Zabak can't take it now. And this just hit me some reason for a different way. Can you imagine him saying, come Curtis, come Jamie, come Mark, come Penny, see my hands that I shed for you. Makes a difference. Makes a big difference in our lives. When we think that we have a God that does not care about us, that does not feel everything that we felt, just think about his hands. Think about the fact sometimes when we doubt God, in our own misery, in our own anxiety, in our own faithlessness, maybe then we'll fit the role of Thomas, who says, God, I don't believe you can help me unless I see your hands. God, this situation I'm dealing with, I don't think you can get me out of until I see your hands. God, this pain that I'm feeling that's been chronic, I don't know if I can make it through until we see his hands. This persecution that I'm going through seems like it's harder and harder every day to live as you want me to be. I don't know if I can do it, Lord. I don't know if I can stand up for you. I don't know if I can carry the bloodstained banner of Christ in this world until you see his hands. Can you imagine him in your mind's eye reaching out to you saying, look what I did for you. It's all out of love. This is a short devotion that I was thinking about. But to me, maybe not you, it was a powerful one. To the point where it got me choked up a little bit, because as I was thinking and trying to put my thoughts together, I see myself like Thomas sometimes. See myself like Thomas. God, until I see you show up on the scene, I ain't going to believe it. Now, he didn't criticize him, which he had every right to do. And at least if you know the rest of the story, at this point in time, when he told him to do it, and I'm pretty sure he did it because Christ told him to, the next thing that comes out of his mouth was, my Lord and my God. Maybe we need to do that from time to time. So in those bad moments in life, in closing, those times when the load gets heavy, can you see his blood-stained hands reaching out? Can he hold up his hands like this? Can you see all the way through them in the middle where the nails went? When he reaches out to you, when you're sinking in life's despair, and that blood-stained hand pulls you up, maybe we'll thank him a little bit more. Maybe we'll realize who's on our side. Behold thy hands. It's the title of my lesson. Behold thy hands. Sometimes we got to stop and do that so we realize who's on our side. What must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and that places into Christ Jesus. And oh my goodness, then we should start to see his hands. We should start to see the blood that we came into contact with for baptism, because it was shed. You know, when we see blood, we usually think it's an accident. We know somebody got hurt, right? Normally that's what you see. Even sometimes animals. You can track an animal by a trail of bloody leaves and know he's wounded. I wonder, do we realize that's what Christ did on Calvary. He left us a trail to track it. He's going into heaven. That trail is all the way up to the very right hand of God. But it's not showing his wound, it's showing us the way. That blood that he shed, those drops that he dripped all the way up as he ascended into heaven, gives us a roadmap into making heaven our home. And from time to time, like I do sometimes, but lessons like this get to me. Sometimes when you get weighed down and you think about all the responsibilities you have, and it's not always easy being a Christian. It's not always being faithful. It's not always easy. But what I'm going to do from now on is when I get to that point, I'm just going to look at his hands. I say, God, I ain't suffered anything that you suffered. And not hands of like this, not hands of ridicule, not hands of beating me up, but hands of love. He loved me enough to die for us. He loved us enough to die for us. So if you have one desire or other, put on Christ in baptism and request special prayer. I ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of
590.